We used to drink milk straight out of the bulk tank when we were kids. My sister got severely ill from E. coli, was hospitalized, super scary. And we were like, yep, pasteurized milk for us. There is a reason for it, guys.
Yeah. A lot of people assume and make comments to me that they're like, well, you know, we got to get raw milk legalized. Am I right? I'm like,
Welcome to Egg's Most Okayest Farm Girls. I'm Annalise.
And I'm Courtney. Grab a drink. We're here to help.
All right, Courtney, we're going to get right into something that I saw was on your list to talk about. It's a current grievance of mine. You had boy dogs on your list. And I would just like to talk about boys in general. And I think anybody who has lived with boys, raised boys, will understand this. But why is there so much pee everywhere around the toilet? Why aren't they getting it in the toilet?
You know, I'm sorry, Aaron, but I'm going to out you per usual. Aaron pees all over the toilet constantly. And then like at night when you don't want to turn the light on in the bathroom and you sit down and you're like, ugh. And then you stand up is when you realize you're like, my ass cheeks are wet.
Gross.
Air Bear.
He doesn't put the lid up? That son of a bitch.
Nope.
I will say Tom is actually pretty good. He's not the problem here. It's my 7-year-old. I'm like, what are you doing? The pee is always like down by the floor or like on the base of the toilet. And that's just the pee I can see. That's what concerns me. What about the pee that is like blending in with my tan colored floor?
Ugh.
Like, that's so gross. And how hard is it just to focus?
Right? Or every man, please, this is a PSA. They're not listening, but I'm going to say it anyways. Sit down. Sit down on the toilet.
Yeah. If you can't aim into that giant bowl for 20 seconds, sit down. Relax.
Please do us a favor.
Focus. It's kind of comical because I shouldn't say all men, but a lot of men are into, you know, shooting targets, shooting animals.
Right.
They can do that.
From long distance. Yeah. But you can't pee in a potty that's like 3 feet from your wee-wee?
3 feet.
What? Okay.
I thought you were going to say the toilet was 3 feet wide. I was like, whoa, you got a big ass toilet. But yes, I get what you're saying. It's just really throwing me for the loop. So cleaning the bathrooms is on my list today.
That's unfortunate. Can you teach your 6-year-old son to clean his own pee-pee mess? Maybe one day.
I mean, I probably should. Right now, I fear that it would just be more of a disaster and really wouldn't get clean. He probably wouldn't wash his hands after. Like, I just wouldn't trust him to make the situation better.
There'd be more concerns. Ay, ay, ay.
Because when you and Aaron met, was he living on his own or did he ever have roommates or a group of guys that he lived with?
He was a bachelor when I moved in, but he actually had a roommate prior. Just one guy he lived with for like, I don't even know, maybe not even a year.
What was their bathroom situation? Was it pretty good or pretty nasty?
Aaron, he's a clean person. It was never gross at his house.
See, Tom lived with like 5 guys in college. Just go ahead and imagine that bathroom was the most disgusting thing. Like, I would hover to pee in that thing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I remember going to parties at like an all dude place and it was disgusting. Like, I'd rather just go pee outside in the freezing cold than use their bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of circumstances where I would rather just pee outside than inside.
Right.
This would be one of them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that.
So anyways, what's going on with your dog? What do you got to say about your
dog? Nobody warned me. I've always had a female dog. And he, likes me. Fucking talk.
Is he humping you?
Yes. And I'm so traumatized. Oh. Like, he's only done it maybe twice, but I'm like, I'm your mother. What are you doing? Like, put that thing away. He's neutered.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves me a little too hard.
How old is he?
He just turned 4.
Okay. So like our dog that we had before, Rip, he went through a phase like just for like the first year or two of his life where he was a humper. But he was into humping. Like, we had a blanket in the farm office that he could lay down on And he would just like bundle that up and hump the shit out of it. And we're like, dude, knock it off, you know? But he never really humped us. And Rip, the dog we have now, he's pretty good. But once in a while, he'll be like running around outside with the kids. And the kids will come back in and they're like, oh my gosh, mom, Rip tried to get a piggyback ride from me. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't a piggyback ride.
I feel like my kids would say the same and we'll just go along with it.
Right. Yep. That's what he was trying to do.
Ay, ay, ay. He's gross.
So what do you do when he humps you? You kick him off? Let him ride it out? What do you?
No. I kick him off. I'm too disturbed. I take it personally. I'm like, I cannot.
Is it only you? Does he do it to anybody else?
It's only me. Oh. He's very much like a Velcro dog to like one person, and it's me.
You should be flattered, you know?
I guess.
This age in life, we take whatever compliments we can get. From humans, from animals.
Dogs.
Something else I wanted to talk about, Midwestern vibes, Midwestern things. Yesterday, I posted on Instagram, I had brought Tom some tater tot hot dish to go. My DMs blew up because it's a big debate. Is it a hot dish or is it a casserole?
I say casserole. And I always say casserole like that.
Casserole.
I'm always like, Erin, you want a casserole tonight?
I call it tater tot hot dish. But there are times that I use casserole. I don't know. But when it comes to the tater tot hot dish, it's tater tot hot dish.
I see.
I also had a woman from Italy hit me up in the DMs and she's like, please tell me what this is. And I was like, I sent her a voice message. I'm like, well, knowing you're from Italy, I'm really embarrassed to tell you what I'm eating, but here it goes. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I wouldn't tell my Italian family that that's what I was eating. But I think she said her mom was from Britain or something. So she's had, she said, my taste buds have been burnt off at a pretty early age. She's like, I would try this. It sounds good. She had the cutest Italian accent, too.
Yeah. What does Britain have?
I feel like
cuisine,
meat and potatoes sort of situation over there. I don't know,
but I've heard it's not a good situation.
Not a good situation. Do you, when you make tater tot hot dish, do you just throw your tots on or put them in a line?
You know, I haven't made it in so long. I just toss them on.
Yeah.
Do you line them up?
Some people do, but I don't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No. Mm-mm. But then other Midwest things I was thinking about was like how so many people in this neck of the woods like have a beer fridge or a garage fridge, or like, just why do we have so many fridges?
We just like to eat and drink our beverages.
Right. And you have to be prepared. Like if you're hosting a holiday or having a party, like you have to have extra fridge space for all the dishes or beer or things that people might bring over and need to be refrigerated. But we do that, and then we also use the snow and just the cold weather
outside.
Yeah, you'll see so many cases of beer on the porch when people are over.
Right? Even food. After your family eats the meal, it's like everyone's food goes outside because there's no room in the fridge.
Right? You just put it out there. Grab it on your way home. Is it also a Midwest thing to collect stickers to put on your garage fridge? Or is that just us?
I don't know. We need to hear from other states.
Yeah. Listeners.
It might be a Midwest thing.
Yeah. DM us. Tell us, do you have a garage/beer fridge? And are you putting stickers on the beer fridge?
Yes.
What other Midwest things? Oh, let me sneak by you here real quick. I say that in the grocery store all the goddamn time.
I feel rude if I'm not saying, let me sneak by you.
Real fast. I know.
We're so afraid of sounding rude.
Like, why can't we just say, excuse me? But it's like, oh, can I sneak by you real quick? Why is that the thing?
Because we're awesome. Because Wisconsin people are just the greatest.
They sure are. Speaking of great Wisconsin people, I had someone DM me the other day, again, regarding the tater tot hot dish for the road that we were eating in the car. She's like, this is top notch, but have you ever snuck food into the movie theater? And I don't mean just like your own snack. She's like, a full meal. She's like, I brought in pot roast, macaroni and cheese, barbecue chicken. I was like, I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you.
I was just going to say, before you started listing foods, I'm like, mac and cheese, yes.
You have?
I have. A little bit.
Was it still warm by the time you got in there? And
it was so long ago. I'm talking, because I don't ever go to the theater anymore. Like back in when I was in my young years.
You got to save them dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
You have your, what's that electric heated vest you have? That would be perfect for the movie theaters. It'll keep your food warm.
Put a hot dish in there.
A hot dish.
Turn her on.
Casserole. You could just like whisper to the person next to you, hey, I got some tater tot hot dish over here. You want some? She opens her vest.
Yes, I love it. You know what's funny is when I worked at the hospital, one of my coworkers was from like a really big city. I can't remember now. Maybe Philly or something.
Philly.
He moved here and he's like, why does every Wisconsinite like have a crush on me? Why are they all hitting on me? Like, it took him so long to realize that like we're not all hitting on you. Like, we are just very interested in you.
That's so and are funny. Nice. Like, why are all these people talking to me?
Yeah, it took him a long time to get used to. He's like, okay, I'm not used to like friendly people. Why are you all hitting on me?
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of friendly people, we have not recapped our event for shits and giggles. It hasn't even been a week since we did that thing. And I feel like it was a rootin' tootin' good time and a major success.
It totally filled my cup. Like, I left there feeling so good.
Yeah. We kind of hosted a little mastermind, and the stories that came out and the amount of people that opened up and shared things, like, I just feel like we're all so connected now. And it did, God, I hate saying like it filled my cup, but it does. I feel like I'm still riding the high from that event. Someone did ask, what is something you guys have learned now that you've hosted your first event together? I don't know. I feel like it'll all come together. I feel like in the process, we were sweating all the things, but it comes together.
Yeah.
It might not be exactly how we imagined it or perfect. And I'm sure we'll think of things, you know, we want to do differently next time, but it was fine.
Yeah. Even if I like stumbled over some words or, you know, didn't get my point across clearly, I feel like it still went well.
Agreed. And sometimes I think a lot of that stuff is in your own head.
Yeah.
Because you envisioned exactly how you wanted it to go and how you wanted to say it. And then it comes out a little differently and you're like, well, I fucked it up. But to everyone else, they're probably like, she nailed it. That's exactly how it was supposed to be. Nobody knows.
Right. Yeah. And we're each other's, our own selves. I can't talk today.
We are our own worst critics.
Yes.
But yeah, it went well. We got tattoos, ate great food. Lacey Evans did her stand-up and it fit in perfectly with everything we had done and talked about that day.
Yeah, I don't know
I think we're going to do it again.
Oh, 100%. Lacey, like, that is talent. When you can, like, have a comedy set, like, prepared, and then she sat through, like, what we talked about, and she heard us speak for the first time. Like, she didn't know what we were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she completely related, like, everything we talked about and put in her own personal experiences and somehow related it to comedy at the same time. Like, I could never do that, like, on the fly.
I know. No.
That's talent.
For sure. We're excited to do it again next year. We haven't picked a date yet, but probably the same time frame. I think winter, new year kind of works good.
Yeah.
So save the date for next January.
Mm-hmm.
TBD. Let's move on to our next segment. What the hell? What made you go, what the hell this week, Courtney?
The TikTok ban. It's looking like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck, government? Like, what are you doing?
It is kind of, out of all of the things they're really taking a stand on, it's TikTok. Just seems like there's bigger fish to fry.
Right. And national security, like, what are they going to take from my TikToks that's useful to them?
Right. You want to talk about, like, national security? You know what irks me? The fact that if you fly with a child, they don't even need their identification.
Yeah, that's like kind of fucked up.
Maybe we should change the rules on that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's national security, but child sex trafficking.
Right. That's a concern.
They can't just ask the kid, is this your mom?
Right.
And then like my kids are too shy and scared to even talk to a stranger.
Right.
So they're just like saying nothing. And then I'm like, I'm their mom, I promise.
My kids are the same. They're very shy. So like they're going to look awkward and not answer the question. But
yeah.
Yeah. It feels like there should be more things. But no, TikTok. These TikTokers.
Bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Something that made me go, what the hell, was I was listening to our local radio station and they were talking about weird ways that people would try to save a buck. And one of the ways was reusing the milk in your cereal. So like they pour a bowl of cereal, they pour the milk on, they don't drink their milk, and they just pour it back into the gallon and use it again. Guys, milk isn't that goddamn expensive.
What are we doing here?
Right.
There's going to be like floaters in there.
Debris. It's going to taste, if you're eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it's going to taste cinnamony. It's not even that much milk.
If you're that concerned, just drink the milk afterwards. That's what Aaron does. He just drinks it.
Yeah. I don't know. It led me to Google other weird ways that people are saving money. Another one was unplugging all of your electronics when not in use. Do you do that?
Like for things that I'm afraid are going to burn the house down, I do, but not for like, you know, my phone charger.
Right.
Something like that.
Don't they say, I thought I read once that you should unplug your phone charger because it does get hot and could start a fire. Not that I do that. I leave mine plugged in, but I thought I heard that once.
Well, shit. I'm doing it wrong.
I don't know.
Doing life all wrong.
But do you think, are these people like unplugging, I mean, their TVs, their ovens, everything?
I feel like that's too extreme. I don't know.
Too extreme. Another one was wearing your clothes inside out. That's disgusting.
That's gross. Don't do that.
Reusing tea bags to get another cup out of it. Again, these things aren't that expensive.
Yeah. That, I'd be worried like it wouldn't dry completely and you'd get mold in there and stuff.
Yeah. Keeping the heat at 55 to 60 degrees. Brr.
Aaron would try to do that, but I will not allow it.
That's cold.
That's fucking cold. I don't want to be miserable all winter.
No. Not paying for toilet paper, just using soap and water. So this brings up other questions. Is there some sort of reusable rag you're using? Does everybody have their own rag? Yeah. Is it a family rag? Does everybody have their own rag? Do you use it once and put it immediately in the wash? Do you hang it up?
Did you hear about
it again?
The family poop knife?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
Some person said that like their plumbing was not strong enough growing up, so they had a family poop knife that they would have to cut their poop up into smaller pieces. And they went their whole life thinking that was normal until adulthood. And they're like, well, you got a poop knife, right? And yeah, that's not
so gross.
Normal.
No. And like, how big are your shits?
Well, my daughter's shits are like pop cans, so.
Yeah, I'm going to keep buying that toilet paper. However, I will say I am intrigued but have not purchased the like wet wipes toilet paper. But it does make a lot of sense. I mean, after how many years of wiping our children's asses, I can see why a wet one, it gets the job done better.
You know, just get a bidet.
Oh.
Those things
have you ever used a bidet?
So nice. I was this close to buying one prior to wrist surgery because I was so worried. I'm like, how am I going to wipe my ass? And so I had it in my cart and I was ready to pull the trigger. And I was like, you're going to have to set this up for me, Aaron, because I'm like going in tomorrow for wrist surgery. And he's like, was all grumbly about it. And I was like, dude, he's not going to figure this out. And it's going to be a whole thing. So I didn't get it.
I feel like that could have ended quite comically. I have a friend whose sister has a bidet. And whenever my friend goes over there, her sister will be like, just be careful when you go to use it. The boys like to fuck with it because I guess there's different settings. Like you can turn the water pressure on or off.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend said one time it was up like as high as it would go. She was like, it was almost like an enema. Like just
I was just
going to
say, did she get an enema?
So hard.
That's hilarious. My sister has one too. Because
Does she?
Her son, like, insisted upon it. He's like, I need this. She's like, all right, knock yourself out.
An odd request of a child. Where did he even discover a bidet?
I don't know. He's a funny kid.
Yeah.
He's so funny. I don't know.
Okay, one last weird way to save a buck. This was on Reddit. One man has taken the unplug to save energy advice a step further by only using one light bulb. When he leaves a room, he unscrews the light bulb, brings it to the next room, plugs it in. Can you imagine, like, how much time is wasted in these money-saving hacks?
And how much are you actually saving? Like, one cent every month for all that time? Like,
not worth it.
This reminds me of that show. Do you remember there used to be a show about this? Like, Extreme?
Yes.
I can't remember
probably
what it was
on TLC.
Called. Probably.
Oh, dear.
You know what? My friend growing up, her family used to do, if, like, they went to Culver's or McDonald's fast food, they would save the paper cup or the plastic cup and the bag and reuse it. So, like, she would bring her lunches to school, not in, like, a lunchbox, but, like, a McDonald's bag. And we would all be like, you got McDonald's? And she'd be like, no.
You lucky I did 3 days ago.
Oh, it always cracked me up.
Yeah, that's a little extreme because all the grease on those bags.
Yeah, soak right in.
Whatever floats your boat.
Girl, I got to tell you about the one product dog owners keep coming back for at our store. They're from Granite Ridge Farms, and they're made with just one ingredient. That's it. No fillers, no preservatives. Just simple, high-quality treats your dogs actually go crazy for.
And didn't you just tell me that they now have something new called Dog Treat Crumbles? They're perfect for, like, sprinkling over food as a treat or a meal enhancement.
I sure did. Granite Ridge Farms started making these treats to help support their family farm, and now they're focused on getting them into more stores all across Wisconsin while making it easy for Wisconsin customers to order online as well.
Oh, so if you are a Wisconsin retailer looking for a product your customers will keep coming back for, or if you're a dog owner wanting a simple one-ingredient treat, well, then you should probably check out Granite Ridge Farms. Your dog will thank you. And no lie, my dog is looking at me right now like, did you just say treat? Treat? So
get him out.
Yep, get the crumbles. Shall we move on to what would Egg's Most Okayest Farm Girls do?
Yeah, you want to go first?
I sure will. I got one pulled up here. So one listener wrote in and said, I have always been the only girl on the farm. I was the only girl on my family's farm. And then I married into a farm where, again, I was the only girl interested in doing the work. Now I have a brother-in-law whose girlfriend has no background in agriculture, but she is interested, and I'm having a really hard time sharing the space. I feel like she's just getting things handed to her when I've had to work my whole life for what I have and who I am as a woman in agriculture. I feel like that's a tough one. There's so many dynamics, right? Like, there's the family part of it. There's the work part of it. And it can be hard to, like, share your space. But I would remind this person of community over competition, you know?
Yep.
You're both going to be better if you help support each other, especially because now you're the only two girls, right? Like, come on, women. We have to support each other.
Women supporting women. And I would say there's room for both of you.
Yeah.
I know it's hard.
Especially when, you feel like you've worked so hard in agriculture for so many years and now somebody new is coming in and you're like, what the hell does this bitch know? But I think you guys just have to have a conversation with each other and then have a conversation as a whole family and define whose roles are what on the farm. Because when you have those clear kind of lines and boundaries, it's going to make the work life better. And if nobody's arguing and feeling tense at work, then, like, the family life is going to be good too. And you have to keep both those in mind.
And is it kind of cool that she's even interested in it?
Yeah, it
is.
Like,
she could just be like, this is not for me.
I know.
This is lame.
Anytime somebody who hasn't grown up in agriculture shows an interest in it, I'm like, awesome. Because we need more people who want to learn, who want to help grow the world's food population. Why can't we talk today? They're not growing the world's food population, but you know what I mean? Helping feed the goddamn world.
Right.
We need more people that are interested in that.
You never know. Like, she might have some strengths and skills that it could be an opportunity
for sure
for your farm. You never know.
Yeah. You just don't know it or see it yet. But I'm sure she brings something to the table. Like we always say, everything happens for a reason. So you kind of have to embrace this change and work with it and make it work for everybody's benefit.
Did she say this was like a girlfriend or are they married? Not that it really matters, but
the girl who wrote in is married into the farm and her brother-in-law has the girlfriend with no egg background. So she's not married in yet, but she's interested.
Oh, a girlfriend.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's another dynamic.
That doesn't really change anything, but.
Because you don't know until she's married in and really wants a permanent place on the farm. But I would also maybe argue that that is the family's decision. I don't know. Just knowing like I'm the outlaw on my family's farm. Now at this stage in the game, like I own 40%, Tom and I do. I feel like I have a say, but in the very early years, I was like, I'm new here. I didn't help start this farm. I didn't grow up on this farm. Like, I'm just going to step back. If they ask for my opinion, I'll give it. But when you're in the early years of all of that, you got to work for that place.
I completely agree. Like, it will help this girlfriend's case if she kind of comes into the farm with that attitude. Because you can't just come in there right off the gate and just start telling people how to do things. That'll rub everyone the wrong way.
For sure. My final piece of advice would just be kind of keep your head down, focus on your own bobber, your own responsibilities, but be encouraging and uplifting to this new girl in the family on the farm and, you know, keep the lines of communication open with everybody and it'll all work out.
Agreed.
All right.
Okay. My story. I work in ag retail, but my dad is a farmer. I get asked often who will take over once he retires. It makes me more annoyed when they ask how many siblings I have and I say a younger brother and they just say, oh, well, your brother will do it. I get very annoyed about being written off since I am a female. How would you respond to these people or do I just ignore it?
Ugh, this one. As someone who grew up with two younger sisters, there wasn't a boy in our farm family. Like that just makes me so mad. Why can't a girl do it?
It makes me really angry.
Why do people assume a girl can't do it or wouldn't want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I get asked that question a lot having two girls and people will automatically assume they're like, oh, there's no one to take over your farm. Who are you going to pass this down to? You didn't have a son. And I'm just, that really irks my gherk.
I just saw an Instagram reel of somebody saying like the next time somebody says something to you that's kind of like a backhanded compliment or maybe is just negative, your response should be, wow, what a weird thing to say.
I've seen that too. And yeah, that's a great way to respond.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a weird
thing to say. That's our advice. Respond that way.
Yeah. Or what a weird thing to ask. And I would almost probably get a little feisty with it. Well, I'm standing right here. I've been working here. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to take it over. Don't let these tits, you know, get in your way of what I'm about to do.
Her question, or do I just ignore it? Mm-mm.
Don't
ignore
it.
It's not in my nature to ignore shit like that.
Nope. Somebody's got to put these people in our place. Again, women empowerment.
You got to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Here is another one. I moved to an internship at the Lazy E in Oklahoma, and my boyfriend took his internship in Nebraska. Both places are talking about offering us long-term positions. How do we decide who takes the job and who moves with the other? That's tough.
That's tricky. I would say who's most likely to find their dream job, like in the other state.
Yeah. I think you got to make a pros and cons list and figure it out together and what's best for the both of you. And I know she said boyfriend. So again, like, is this person your person? How sure are you? I don't know if it's real love or puppy love, but don't let puppy love stop you from getting to what you want out of life. if you feel like you're meant to be together, then yeah, figure it out together. Make a pros and cons list. You know, what are you going to each get paid? And yeah, like you said, who can find their dream job the easiest if they had to move?
Right. And try not to stress too, because this comes up all the time, is us saying you'll get to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
I left Milwaukee and my art school and college for my boyfriend at the time, who was a total loser. But had I not done that, I probably wouldn't have met Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met him in Madison because our friends were dating. So don't stress.
You'll
end up where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, listen to your gut, follow your intuition, and know that you'll end up where you're supposed to be. But you guys just got to talk it out.
Mm-hmm. My husband is turning 30 this year, and I am in my late 20s. We both agreed we want to have children someday, but I'm not sure when the right time is for both of us. How did you know when was a good time to start a family? How did you decide this with your husband?
Ooh, tell you right now, girl. The timing is never gonna be right. There's always gonna be something going on. You're always gonna say, oh, well, you know, maybe when we have our dream house or we get a raise or we have this much money or we have that. There's always gonna be something that makes you feel like you're not ready and you're never gonna be fucking ready. Kids are crazy. Nothing prepares you for motherhood. So if you guys wanna have kids, just fucking have them.
Yeah, I remember I was like just chomping at the bit. Like, probably the night of our marriage, I was like, Aaron, can we make a baby? Can we have a baby now? And he kind of was like, okay, let's just hold on, settle down. I just kept asking him and annoying the shit out of him. And then finally he was like, okay, well, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah, I would say it's a little bit similar. It wasn't the night we got married, but a couple years later, the closer I got to 30, my biological clock was a ticking. I was like, these eggs are shriveling up. We gotta use what I got, you know? We gotta make a baby. And Tom, I don't know, he's always just been kind of, yeah, whatever you think. If you think you got this, we'll do it. So we did it.
Yeah. I will say too is don't expect that when you do decide to have a baby, that it's going to happen just like that. Because you and I can personally attest to this is sometimes it's really hard to get pregnant. It took me 2 years of trying. So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of feelings associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel disappointed or that it's your fault, because it's not.
Yeah.
It just happens.
I feel like if it's on your mind, pull the goalie now and start trying with no pressure. See what happens. Because I do know, like, yeah, with our experiences, a fertility doctor won't even see you until like even after a year of trying. And then they're like, all right, it's been a year. Let's see what's wrong with you in there. And then you can get help. So, and then it just gets more stressful after that. So we're probably scaring you now, but our advice is never going to be ready. If it's on your mind and in your heart and you guys want to be parents, just pull the goalie now, see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to what you oughta know. Red Dye 3 was on both of our lists, so let's talk about that. It just came out, I think in the news yesterday, that Red Dye 3 is going to be banned.
Right.
Like, I think people more than ever are concerned about what's in their food, where it comes from. Everybody wants less. Everybody wants more natural, more real. Like, we've come to realize all this processed shit is shit.
Yes. I'm happy that we're at least finally taking the steps, heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. To me, I am no scientist, but these dyes, from what I understand, were just put in things so they look aesthetically pleasing. It gives them a bright red color. Its sole purpose is the color. So just fucking take it out. It looks ugly. Who cares? But why did we even...
Take it out right now.
Yeah. And why in the first place did we decide that it needs to be bright red? Like back in the day when we were making ketchup, it looked how it looked. And then who was like, you know what? Let's make it brighter.
This needs to be bright red.
Yeah. Let's put some dye in it. Really make it pop.
Our kids' cough medicine. Why is it red? We don't need that.
It doesn't make it more appetizing. Right.
We don't care. They don't care. Mm-mm. Just make it clear.
Yeah.
And do it now. Don't wait 3 years from now. That's a long time.
It does boggle my mind. Maybe there's something we don't know, but it seems like if we can ban TikTok, we could get these dyes out real quick.
Right. We can ban TikTok real fast, but those artificial dyes that make our things red for no reason, that needs to take 3 years.
Yeah. The other thing that I think people ought to know, this is a question I get a lot, and it is why we don't drink raw milk. Why don't we drink milk straight from the bulk tank on our farm? There are two reasons. One is because our milk is directly loaded into two giant tankers that then hook up to a semi and head to the creamery. There's no easy way for us to get a pitcher of milk out and into the fridge. The second reason is that we are big fans of pasteurization. We used to drink milk straight out of the bulk tank when we were kids. My sister got severely ill from E. coli, was hospitalized, super scary, and we were like, yep, pasteurized milk for us. There is a reason for it, guys.
Yeah. A lot of people assume and make comments to me that they're like, well, you know, we got to get raw milk legalized. Am I right? I'm like,
no.
Like, I have similar experience. So my grandpa was a dairy farmer all his life. Did you know that? I don't even know if I told you that.
I don't think so, no.
So I guess I wasn't that far removed from the farm. Like, growing up, I would visit him. One of his kids, my aunt, got very, very sick drinking, because they used to drink raw milk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Very sick. I don't remember whether she was hospitalized, but I think so. And then Aaron's family, growing up, they would drink raw milk. His sister got really sick as well from it.
Yeah.
It's pasteurized for a reason.
Right. For those of you that don't know, like, pasteurization kills all of the bad bacteria that could be in the milk from the cow's manure, or, you know, I mean, we do our best as dairy farmers to keep the animals clean, to sanitize the teats before and after milking, but bugs and stuff can still get in there. Not like literal creepy crawly bugs, but like bacteria bugs, and they can make you sick. And that's why we pasteurize the milk. We heat it up to a certain temperature, cool it back down, and it still provides all of the same nutrients. People seem to think that raw milk is better for you, and it's not. And I also want to say, like, nothing against farmers who choose to drink their own milk. Like, if you are a dairy farmer and you want to drink raw milk, fine. My issue with it, if it were to become legalized, my fear is that some random consumer is going to drink raw milk. They are going to get sick. And are they going to claim it as an isolated incident from a particular farm? No, what they're going to do is swear off dairy forever. And what the media is going to do is going to say, you can get sick from drinking milk. It's not going to be like, right, you can get sick from drinking raw milk at this particular farm. It's going to be dairy as a whole. I don't want that.
Right. We don't want that. I also hear people making the comment, if they are raw milk drinkers, they're like, oh, well, I'm getting it from a farm that I trust and that's clean. If people get sick, it's not that that farm is dirty. Like,
mm-hmm,
like it just happens. Said, like, you clean the teats and do everything you're supposed to, but shit still happens.
Literally.
Literally. Yeah.
I just wanted to discuss that. Don't hate us. Mm-hmm. I feel like people get all wild about raw milk.
Yeah. I mean, that's just our opinions.
Yeah.
And we can have our own opinions about it. So
right. That's what we think you ought to know.
Yup.
Anything else, Courtney?
I had one other thing, but I'll just save it for next time because
yeah,
we're going like we on covered, like 53 minutes. So
right. We covered a lot. For sure an episode where we can say we're Ag's most okayest farm girls and we just helped you. I mean, God, look at that advice we gave today. Solid advice.
So much advice.
Mm-hmm. And let that be a reminder that if you have a question or a confession for us, you can submit it anonymously with the link in our Instagram bio. It's also in our show notes. We want to hear from you guys. We love to hear from you. You people are what makes Ag's Most Okayest Farm Girls a community. So keep the questions and confessions coming and have a day.
Have a day. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us today.
If you had as much fun as we did, would you do us a favor and share this episode with a friend?
Speaking of friends, can we all be friends over on the Instagram? You can find me at @modfarmchick.
And me at Mrs. Green Pastures Cattle.
See you next week, guys.